Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
There's just three things I need to drive the blues away. Three things you need to drive the blues away. You're gonna need the fire. You're gonna need the sun. And the Holy Ghost. Three chords and no
Well, it's such an honor to be back in Auburn today. A lot of you that knew us, we've been coming here since 2000, and we kind of transitioned our position in 2000, and Sherry and I were associate pastors at a large, very successful church in Northwest Missouri, and we just had this question. God asked me this question, and the question was, can you do this for the rest of your life and be happy? And he actually set it up this way. He said, can you do this for the rest of your life? And my answer was yes. You know, we're successful, things are well. And then he said, and be happy. And I said, no, because we had these dreams in our heart. And so we started, I assumed I would pastor a church, and we started. And we didn't start a church. I knew I wasn't supposed to start a church. I assumed I would pastor a church. But we began traveling, and one of the first places we came was here to Auburn. And I wasn't scheduled to preach. We just stopped to see Pastor Mike and Sue, and then we were going on to Macon, Georgia, where I was working on an album. And Miss Sue insisted that we come back and be here for the weekend. And so we did. You know, you don't want to tell her no, just in case you don't, you know, not a good thing. Mike knows that one. And so we came back, and about 10 o'clock that Saturday night, Mike said, I want you to speak in the morning. And I was up all night and got ready to speak on Sunday morning, and it was like God just opened me up and poured something through me that then became the foundation for all that we've done the last 16 years in ministry. And it all happened spontaneously here in this town, different building, but church is the same. So anyway, we're glad to be back and to be part of that. That was a big deal for us then, and it's still a big deal. And let me just clarify, for those of you that were here last night, the big download was the way that I shared our story. I shared our story that day, and there were two services at that time, and the second service was late because Pastor Mike wouldn't get off the altar. All right, so today, you all ready? Let's pray. Let's get back in the mojo. That's not a spiritual word. That's a blues word, in the spirit. So, Father, thank you so much for this opportunity for us to be together today. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be open, that our minds would not be in the way, that we would be attentive, Lord, but it be directly you communicating to our hearts. And, Lord, that from this, that when we leave here today, the goal is, Lord, that we be encouraged, but most of all, that we do the word. Lord, that this be a time that we can take this and just say, you know what, I'm going to do that. That's going to be part of who I am. That is part of who I am because it's part of who you are. So, Lord, we commit those things to you. Help me to speak well. Help me to speak in a way that is easy to understand. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today I want to talk to you about your dreams. You know, I mentioned I have a book about dreams. I have a CD series about dreams. And I hope that you have dreams, a dream for your future, a dream for your marriage, a dream for your children. Let me just kind of throw this in here. A dream for your children that's actually their own dreams that you're empowering and not your dreams that you're trying to force on them. And what I mean by that, when I say a dream that you're empowering for your children, and really that's a nice spiritual way to put it, it should be said like this: a dream that you are funding for your children. Because some of you need to be funding your children's dreams. Dreams are those things that make our life full of adventure. They're things that make our lives exciting. They give us challenges. They give us hope of a different future. And dreams are a New Testament standard of communication. Three times in the first two chapters of the first book of the New Testament, the book of Matthew, God specifically speaks to the family via the instrument of dreams. And one way that you can qualify your dreams to know if your dreams are from the Lord or not is this: every dream that is from the Lord is about the family. Every dream that is from the Lord is about the family. And you can lay that over your dreams and say, does this fit? Does my dream that I think is from God fit in this by how it benefits the family? Now, how can I say that so absolutely? I can say that so absolutely because that's God's dream. Every dream that God has, everything that he's created, everything about this planet is about one thing: his dream to be a father with a family. So your dreams, in order to be from him, will always line up in line, and your dreams will be about the family also. But today I want to speak to you about one of your dreams, one that I hope possesses your kingdom experience, and it is the dream of finishing. The dream of finishing. It's the same dream that Jesus had. It's the same dream that the Apostle Paul had, and I hope it's a dream that you have in your heart. The dream of finishing. To finish the work that Jesus has started in your life. And my text will be John chapter 4, verse 34. John 4, 34. And it reads like this. You know, I'm a proponent for us having an add-on app to the Bible programs on our smartphones. And that add-on app is that when we are open our Bible app up, it sounds like pages turning. And when we find the spot, then it stops, because that's how preachers know it's okay to go ahead and continue. Used to, but we don't get to anymore. It's kind of an awkward moment of silence right there, you know. It's like just something that sounds like. So anyway, it's up on the screen. Jesus, here it is, John 4:34. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Now, this is something that I can tell you is something that is vitally important, because anytime a man starts talking about food, it's important. And Jesus here says, look, I'm going to tell you something that's as important as my food, and that is that I am going to do the will of him who sent me, and I am going to finish his work. He reiterated this dream in John 19:30 when he said from the cross, "It is finished. It is finished." The Apostle Paul talked about his dream of finishing in 2 Timothy 4:7. When he said, "I fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith." Paul said, if there was a fight, I fought it, and I fought it well. I fought it good. If there was a race, I was engaged, and I ran in that race. And concerning faith, I kept my belief in the reality of who Jesus is, what Jesus accomplished, and the inheritance that he gave us in his covenant all the way to the end. I got an email not too long ago from a Christian magazine. It was an article about a man that I have a lot of respect for, a man by the name of Bill Wilson. And Bill's famous for his inner city children's ministry in New York. And this article was about Bill because Bill had been assaulted on the street outside of his ministry, and he had been shot. And I could tell as the interviewer was talking to him, the tone of the interview was going to come around to, well, this is a really good time to quit. And he asked it in a nice, you know, politically correct way. He said, "Well, Bill, what's next for your ministry?" And what he said impacted me so much that I highlighted it in that email. I cut it out, pasted it into my word processor, blew it up in a big font, printed it out on my printer, and taped it to my wall. A little computer lesson there for you, so like you need it. When the interviewer said, "Bill, what's next for your ministry?" this is what he said. "The two hardest things in life are starting and finishing, and I am going to finish." Amen. The two hardest things in life are starting and finishing. Now look, that gave so much encouragement to me because I'm already halfway there. You're already halfway there. You've already got one of them out of the way. You've already started. So why not go all the way and just finish? Some of my favorite passages in the Bible are those passages that start with the phrase, "It came to pass." It's talking about people's stories and their struggles, and all of a sudden there came this time when they finished. There was a completion. There was a fulfillment of all of the things that God had promised them. They brought their faith to the place where they could say, "I finished it." So I don't know about you, but I want to finish. I have this dream of finishing. So what does it take to finish? I got 3 points for you. Number one, we must believe that we're going to finish from the start. We must believe that we're going to finish from the start. Why? Because that's the character and nature of our Father. Isaiah 46:10 says of God, it says this, that he declares the end from the beginning. There's this thing in the DNA and the nature of God that says, I'm not going to discover this as I go along, but I'm going to speak, I'm going to declare, I'm going to entertain the reality of the end right here where I'm starting from. Right now, I'm going to entertain those things. This is a belief of our heart and not an opinion in our mind. It may start in your mind, but it must make the journey from your mind to your heart, because your heart is the seat of belief. That is where faith resides. That is the place where transformation takes place, is in the heart. So many of us miss the mark by not allowing the truth to settle from our minds to our hearts. And let me tell you this about God. He is a heart God. And when he looks at us, he doesn't look, 1 Samuel 16:7 says, he doesn't look as a man looks on the outward appearance. He looks at our heart. And he's looking to see if we have this belief in our heart that says, I am going to finish. Sherry and I, we shared our story a little bit last night, but when we came to Jesus, my pastor would describe me as he would say, Jimmy is the wreck on the train track. The horse that came in last, just hanging on by his fingernails when Jesus found him. And we came to Jesus, and you know, I told the folks last night, we knew two things. We knew that Jesus was real and that we didn't know anything. And this wonderful invasion happened in our lives and in our home that transformed us from, you know, from blindness to sight, from light, from darkness to light, and restored our marriage and gave us our children back and all the things that happened. But just a few days after we were born again, I was struck with the reality that I had the DNA of a quitter, that I had never finished anything in my life. Dropped out of school, divorced my wife, you know, Sherry, my wife. All of the things that I could look back in my life and say, I had the DNA of a quitter. And I was just stunned because this wonderful thing had happened to me. Jesus was real in my life, and I knew that he was real. But I was struck with the fact that I was a quitter. And it stunned me. And so I went to God and I said, God, you've done this marvelous thing in my life.
but I'm a quitter. And I don't want to quit. Help me to not quit on you. We must believe the truth that God has a different future for us and he is leading us into it. Point number two. If we're going to quit, what does it take? Now, for you deep thinkers, this is not going to scratch your itch. All right? What does it take to finish? Number two, never quit. Never quit. I know it's simplistic, but it's reflective of the character and nature of God. Psalm 86:15 says this. Psalm 86:15. But you, O God, are both tender and kind, not easily angered, immense in love, and you never, never quit. I had a preacher friend one time that called me into his office, and he said, come here, I want to show you something. Sit down at my computer. And he had a search window pulled up on a Bible program. He said, type in the word quit. And I typed in the word quit. He said, hit enter. And I hit enter, and this big red box came up and said, quit is not in the Bible. So in God's vocabulary, when he's talking about you, he doesn't even use the word quit. Right. Amen. It's not an option. It's not in the Bible. And we have to take that stand too. No matter how many times we fall, no matter how many mistakes we make, no matter how bad we jack our lives up, we're still going to have that connection. We're going to overcome the shame of it, and we're going to say, God, you're still my Father. Amen. Number three, the boy's flying. What does it take to finish? We must have help. We must have help. Sherry and I were on a hospital visit one day. Sherry, you want to help me? We were going to see a friend of ours that was really badly injured in a car wreck. And we got on the elevator, and there was some friends of ours that were going to see him also. So we got off the elevator together, and we're walking down the hall, and all of a sudden we hear this faint cry.
Help.
And as we're walking down the hall, it starts getting louder.
Help.
And it keeps getting louder.
Help!
And about that time, a nurse appears from around the corner pushing this little old lady in this wheelchair, and she's screaming.
Help!
She gets right up next to us, and she looks at us real puzzled and said,
well, what's the matter? Don't you understand help?
And I'm convinced that we don't understand that we need help. And as long as we have that attitude, we will isolate ourselves and lock ourselves up from the help that we need. And listen, God knew that we would need help. And that's why he said, look, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit and he's going to help you. All these people get all weirded out about the Holy Spirit and all this stuff, you know, and there's all this controversy surrounding the Holy Spirit. It's like, look, if God wants to send deity to me to help me, you can sign me up for that deal because I'm in on that thing. I'm smart enough to know that if God wants to give me help, that I'm going to get it. And if he's going to send it to me, then I'm going to receive it. And if he says that it's for me, then I'm going to believe that. And I'm going to willingly open up my heart and say, Holy Spirit, come and heal me, help me, show me, lead me, teach me, reveal Jesus to me. The reason the Holy Spirit came and comes to give us help is because we are family. It's because we are family. And above all the other families in the earth, our family is the one that has been empowered to function relationally. And the Holy Spirit's job and fulfillment of his ministry in us is to bring us the tools that we need to relationally function in this family. And to relationally represent the reality of the Father's wills to those who haven't discovered their place in our family. If we're going to finish, we have to have the help of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit are the relational tools that we need to be able to function in this family. Galatians 5:22 through 23 says this, "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things." We are those people that need to know and avidly represent these values. These are our family values. These are the family values that we have. They're the thing that distinguish us from everybody else on the planet. You know, and I'm gonna step outside of my preacher box for a minute and get political. The reality of what needs to happen in the Middle East is not a political solution. It is a spiritual solution. And God only has one cure for this planet, and that is the gospel. And the gospel must be the reality of what stops the advance of aggression and terror in our world. And the sooner we as the church realize that and quit looking for a political solution, because after all, that's what the Antichrist is going to provide, and start realizing that the reality of us believing and living the gospel is the solution that's going to overturn all aggression on this planet. Oh, and just since we're in election season, I do have a political slogan that I've adopted. And that's a vote for Chump, C-H-U-M-P, not Trump, Chump, C-H-U-M-P, because it doesn't matter which one you pick, they're all a bunch of chumps. So, I posted the other day, vote for Curly, because I thought he was Curly the Three Stooges, I thought he was an obvious choice. So anyway, we're going to need the help of the Holy Spirit. I'll get back, some of you, I lost you right there, it's like, okay, come back. We're going to need the help of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to need the help of the local church. We are going to need the help of the local church. I can't say enough. I got into it last night. We need to be in church. You say, well, you know, I don't really get much out of church. That's not the point. The point is that we place ourselves in an environment where we separate ourselves from our distractions, and we come to receive from the Father. I mean, that can happen anytime, any place, but we come specifically to this place because we come together. And I can tell you that so much of my life and the goals and the tools that I have in my life today are because I was in church. We need the help of the local church, and finally, we need the help of each other. And we find that in the community that we build in the local church, because there are some things that you will never overcome on your own. You will never overcome it on your own. Here's a couple of examples. David was known for the giant that he slain. But there was a giant in the Bible that David couldn't kill. You read about it in 2 Samuel chapter 21. His name was Ishbi-Benob. Now, I know some of y'all want to name your next son that, but please resist. And he was this giant, and he came out against David. And the Bible says of David's condition at that time that he was weary. And one of David's mighty men, Abishai, came to David and said, David, you stay here. We're going to go fight that battle for you. And they went and fought and conquered that giant for David. Can I tell you, there are some giants in your life that you can't conquer alone, and you need help to be able to conquer those things. If you're going to finish, you need help to fight those things. Even so much that Jesus himself had to have help. He had to have help of others. Jesus is on his way to fulfill his destiny, to finish his race. He's carrying his cross, and his humanity collapses. And they had to go find somebody from the crowd, Simon, and bring him out. And Simon picked up the cross and carried the cross that Jesus couldn't carry so that he could fulfill his destiny. If David needed help, and most of all, if Jesus needed help, we need help to finish also. We need help to finish also. We need that help in our life. Start talking about finishing right now. Start declaring that you're going to finish. Like I shared with the couples last night, Sherry and I have a confession about our relationship. And that confession is, there's no plan B. It's me and you all the way. Bill Wilson said the two hardest things in life are starting and finishing. And I am going to finish. Are you going to finish? And finish strong? Now, I know that there might be some of you here, but you haven't started. So I want to take just a few minutes and talk to you. You haven't started a relationship with your Father through Jesus Christ. Listen, this is a family thing. This is a family deal. All this planet, I mentioned this earlier, all this planet, everything that we're engaged in is a family thing. It came out of God's desire to be a father with a family. And the way that you get into a family is by birth. And the way that you get into this family is by birth. You have to be born again, Jesus said. You must be born again. It's like, well, what does that mean? Well, think about it like this. What if you had the chance to begin again, to start over? Would you be interested in it? I mean, I think that's a common emotion that all of us have. It's like, you know, if I could just go back and know what I know now, and you know, if I could just go back and start over again, and all the regrets that we have of the mistakes that we made, those things all come forward. I believe that all of us are accustomed to that emotion. But Jesus said, if you're going to enter in, you have to be born again. You have to be born into this thing. And the Bible talks about that experience many different places, but most of it just blows my mind to think about it. And not only that, but it just blew my mind to experience being born again. The Bible says that when we come to God by faith in what Jesus did for us, that we are born again by believing that what Jesus did through his birth, through his life, through his death, and ultimately through his resurrection. When we believe those things, the Bible says that we are translated, we are born again into God's family, into the kingdom of light. And when we're born again, it's not just some religious ceremony that we come in one way and we leave a different way. The Bible says that when we do this, that we get a new heart. That we get a new heart. That God does, I don't know how he does it, it's beyond my comprehension, but it says that we get a new heart, that he reaches down inside of us and he takes out a heart that the Bible describes as stony or hard, and he takes it out of us and he gives us a new heart that's pliable, that's teachable, and it has his law written on it. There's a new programming, a new nature that comes from this. So not only do we get a new heart, but we get a new genetic. And I don't know if you've been around anybody, you know, genetic. We have a genetic story in our family because I have a daughter, Jessica, who I met when she was 38 years old. And the craziest thing about it was is that she's so much like me that it's scary. But I was never around her to influence her. She just had this genetic working through her that she's goofy like me. Her mannerisms are the same as me. I mean, the first time, I'll tell this little story, the first time I met her, I'd never heard her voice. I'd never seen her smile. And we're getting ready to meet her. And, you know, I'll tell people, it's like, I'll never use words like hi or hello in a greeting because I'm too cool for that. You know, I mean, I'll do something like, hey. And so Sherry and I, we're getting ready to meet Jessica and Leroy for the very first time. And we meet outside of a restaurant. And I walk up to her, and I've never heard her voice, and I've never seen her smile. And you know, I'm just like totally waiting for her very first words. And I walk up to her, and I stand there, and all of a sudden she goes, hey. There's this genetic working through her. That's just by default. She was just like that. And when we become born again, there's this thing that happens through us that the nature of God just begins to flow out of us and influence our life. And it's available to every one of us on the planet. The Bible says that God gave to each of us the measure of faith, the ability to believe what Jesus did, the ability to believe that Jesus came to this planet, that he was sacrificed for our sins, that he conquered all of them by rising from the dead to enforce the covenant, the contract, the agreement that God has now made with mankind for all who would believe. And so you might be here and you might say, Jimmy, I've never been born again. I've never started. Then I want to give you an opportunity to do that. So can we, out of respect for one another and reverence for God, would you just bow your heads and close your eyes? And I want to ask you right now if that's you. All of us have to come to that place where we start. And this is your day to start. You might be here today and say, you know, I've got an opinion about Jesus, but I've never experienced anything that was transformative in my life. I've never known that I needed to be born again. Or I just am not sure if I am born again. If that's you, in just a minute, I'm just going to ask you to lift your hand. We're going to pray together right there where you're at. If you're here and you say, Jimmy, I have not been born again. I'm not sure if I'm born again, but I want to be born again. It's the greatest experience a person could ever have in life. Knowing their Father, experiencing the love of this family, and having the help of the Holy Spirit in life. So if you're here today and you say, that's me, Jimmy, I want to be born again. I'm not sure if I'm born again. Then right now I want you to lift your hand and we're going to pray together right there where you're at. All right, all hearts at peace, and let me pray. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity for us to come to church, and Lord, for the challenge that we dream and dream of finishing. Lord, I pray for everyone here, Lord, that we might have inside of us the reality of the kingdom so alive and so real that we would never quit, that we would carry it all the way to the finish.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.